B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mash, as we said off the top of the last hour. Done a lot of stuff today, and so we'll just take your phones on all of it. A lot of football stuff, as usual. Did a Celtics and Bruins thought earlier, both trade deadline related. The Celtics thought was that Steve Bopet, formerly of the Herald, now of the Heavy.com, wrote that as of a couple days ago, they were all in on making a trade and sort of clearing out some of the veteran guys, Richardson, Schroeder, guys like this, to play the young kids, Pritchard, Neesmith, guys like that, down the stretch, which would be kind of waving the white flag on the season. And, you know, we wonder, has the last two games changed anyone's mind? We did a lot of Hall of Fame stuff in the first hour, and so you know what those topics are. We can circle back to that as well, whatever you want. But to your calls, as promised, longest order to wait, Jim in the car on the Celtics. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, you talked about ownership groups being sneaky cheap, and the Celtics ownership group is exactly that. If you look back, going all the way back to KG era, they routinely have not extended themselves for their own players. And recently, that's been the case every offseason, whether it's been Horford, Two years ago with Hayward, when if you think about it, they were a block dunk and a Hayward rolled ankle away from going to the championship in the bubble, and they didn't go far enough to retain this guy. And now we're hearing, whether it's Bopet or Hollinger, saying they're looking to make moves to get under the tax.
Yeah.
Not just to save money, but so they can get a $10 million payment from tax-paying teams. I'm fine with being a seller if that's the best direction for this team. I'm not fine with the motivation to continually save money.
So I don't think they're cheap, Jim, but let me just stop you. And thanks for the call. I what I've seen over the years is when they feel they have a real championship contending team, weren't the Garnett years, they heavy in the tax?
Yes.
They were like, because they had a real team.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't feel they have a real team, I do feel they make good efforts to be not being a taxpayer team.
Yeah. In that league, I don't have a huge problem with that approach. And I think he's got Hayward wrong. Hayward wanted out. Hayward wasn't going to play here. Okay, he was tired of the, you know, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Ferris wheel, and, you know, having to be a different kind of player here and a facilitator. He wanted the ball. He wanted to score, so he went to Charlotte.
Tom and Quincy, how do you feel about the Hall of Fame voting and how it all shook out?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, this is just a real quick call about the announcement special on MLB last night. I watched some of it. I watched mostly because I just wanted to see the Ortiz interview and stuff like that. I will say one thing. I saw Jones posted something about the viewership and how low it was. And I think the problem with that is because everyone thinks by the time they're going to go to watch MLB Network, they're going to be absolutely bombarded with the nerd stuff. And I'll say is from what I watched last night, the best thing they did was they kept Brian Kenny at Cooperstown. So he wasn't on screen the whole time, jabbering away about the shredder staff and all this garbage that I have no friggin' idea what he's talking about ever. So I think that's the low viewership that I noticed. But overall, the whole Ortiz aspect of the special was pretty good. The focus on A-Rod now is very odd because he's in the 30s. And they're like, oh, he's going to have – you'll see a steep climb for him in the next couple of years. You're not going to go from 30 with A-Rod with the negativity of towards him to the 75 within the few years. There's no friggin' way.
So, thanks for the call, Tom. Shaughnessy wrote that today that, you know,
Bonds and Clemens got close. That's where they started.
So Shaughnessy thinks that the voting body's gotten even younger and they care less about steroids, so that ultimately A-Rod will get in.
Yeah, I think that the timeline works in A-Rod's favor more than it does Bonds and Clemens.
I hope so.
Yeah, look, he should be in. What are we doing? That's stupid. Seriously, you tell me Alex Rodriguez is one of the great players in the history of the game?
I just made the mistake of calling up Adam Jones's Twitter feed.
What is he now, McCorkle Jones?
McCorkle Jones. So the picture up top is Beetle giving him the finger.
Yeah, it's so good.
Then there's this thing of Maz's face on this greased up guy on the ground. Have you seen this?
Yeah,
no, I gotta find it.
There's Maz. You were crawling.
Maz crawling around on the studio before his shift starts.
You were crawling around in the studio today because a camera picked up Beetle saying "What the f" under his breath when Maz was doing something during the midday show today. And this is someone who is very good with, I don't know, turning our faces and putting them on movies. I forget what you call that.
Okay. All right. So anyway, this is all of a long way to get to the effing rating last night for the Hall of Fame show on the MLB Network. Only did a 0.7 rating. From 6 to 7 last night in Boston. 0.7. 0.7. You know what Felger and Maz did?
Like a 1-1.
Let's see, what was our best hour? A 4 p.m. hour. Felger and Maz in the demo did a 1-2.
Yeah, suck on that, baseball.
In the households, we did a 0.7. From 4, the more you watched us, I'm not even talking about the listening. More of you watched us. Then the MLB announcement, the David Ortiz Hall of Fame announcement last night, we beat.
What's wrong with that?
No, I mean, but I think that just gives you some indication again.
State of baseball.
But I'm sure Carrabas will wait for the team or MLB to release a press release, and then he'll retweet it and say, oh, see?
Oh, I disagree. I think it speaks to the power of Felger and Maz.
We've got Jack in Scituate. Hi, Jack, on Tom Brady. What do you got?
Hey, Michael, I just think Tom Brady is doing exactly what he's just looking for at this time, everyone to keep talking about him. You notice how that team completely collapsed down the stretch. They lost some of their best players, and we're only talking about Tom Brady retirement. He's going to drag it out until the Super Bowl, make an announcement then, and then we're just going to go back to football.
So I think, Jack, if he is retired, I think he's going to keep playing. But if he is saving it for anything and yanking or wanky for anything, it's for the stupid Man in the Arena thing.
It better not be this. So the 10th and final episode of Man in the Arena should have been out now, 2 weeks ago today. And Gotham Chopra, the producer, tweeted, "It's still in production, likely out in the spring. As Tom Brady said in episode 9, perspective comes with time and space. So he wanted to really reflect on what went down in Tampa last year. Be patient. It'll be worth it." That's interesting that he writes he wants to really reflect on what went down in Tampa last year. You mean this year or the championship year? Something doesn't make sense here. So part of me believes that, yes, what's going on here is just Brady trying to build up drama for this final episode. And
setting
so
up
help me if that's the case.
Yeah, what are they? What's the season finale? The cliffhanger? The season? Whatever.
Yeah, cliffhanger. Yeah,
he's setting it up for the season ending episode, like any TV show would. So that would be my guess. I think he's playing. I think he's leveraging the Bucks or whatever.
So do I.
Or maybe trying to appease his wife because she's so up his ass about this thing. So that's why he's talking about family and the kids, and she needs me, and he's trying to just calm the waters there a little bit before he jumps back in. But it's probably the TV show, if it's anything, knowing him.
Yeah, I agree, Murray.
Alan in California on the Patriots. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Maz. I think Bedard is wrong. I think the Patriots are too thin in multiple phases of the game and need to get a deeper roster, get young and younger, which means pretty much a complete turnover. If you remember the first Belichick dynasty, Brady dynasty, there was a lot of fine foundational pieces in place from 90s drafts. In the 90s, there's five or six pretty good drafts in there. There's a couple of them that are just incredible. And they carried over to that first dynasty. And I think that's the Patriots are too thin at the end of every year. We're seeing that.
Okay, they definitely need to draft better and fill out the roster. I'm beginning to think more and more that I want them to do what the Rams have done and the Niners have done and the Buccaneers have done, and that is push the chips in the middle of the table and get the quarterback first and then try and fill in the pieces around them, which is a long way of saying I'd trade Mac Jones and a first for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers and try and fill in the rest. That would be my preferred path for them to do, which I know they never will.
I want a stud quarterback.
And it's unrealistic of me to even expect or talk about. But if you're asking me, that's what I'm doing if I'm them.
Yeah, to me, we've gone through this. When you look through it, the chances of repeating every year, and I say repeating, meaning making a run every year.
As a Packer fan, I'd take Mac Jones in a first. I would.
For Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. You can have him. I get Mac Jones in a first and, or, you know, Skippy Magoo there would coach him up and hand the ball off a ton and, yeah, wave on the defense and the whole thing. I'd take it. I'd do it. And Jordan Love is still there nipping at his heels. Who knows what he becomes?
Do you think Bill would bring in Deshaun Watson?
Yes. I think,
I'm not talking McDaniels
would love to.
So I'm not talking contract. I'm talking about all the stuff that comes with him.
I was just going to say, the baggage, yes. If Bill can handle the baggage on Antonio Brown, he can handle, and never mind Lawrence Taylor going all the way back there, he can handle the baggage on Deshaun Watson. I don't think that would be why Bill would say no. Maybe Robert would get cold feet because of PR or whatever. But Bill would do it in a heartbeat. Would he pay him?
No.
Would he pay him $40 million a year?
No.
So,
I don't even need to like elaborate. No,
not even worth asking. Ryan and Malden on the Celts. Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, how's it going? How's it going, guys? So, I just want to congratulate my man, Big Poppy, on getting in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, I'd like to talk about the Celtics. So, yeah, man, you know, they're playing just for themselves. Like when they're on the court, they're just horrible at passing, no communication skills at all. Turning the ball over too much. And to me, it starts with the coach up. I mean, I watched the game a week ago, and I guess I'll watch it a month to see if they get any better.
Okay, Ryan, but it was the same thing last year with a different coach. So I'm not sure Udoka knows what he's doing or is any good. I've got no real feel for it.
Well, I don't think it matters who's coaching it if the message isn't going to get through with these guys.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like it was the same crap last year as it is this year, and there were two different coaches. So how can you say it's the coach? I mean, I think Stevens is a better coach than Udoka, but it's clearly not that.
No, I will say, though, that I think the caller's wrong about the last couple of games. They have not been selfish the last couple of games. Last night in particular, you know, the ball was moving. They were, and look, they ended up with a lot of assists because they shot the lights out, especially in the first half. But there was one pass Tatum made. I don't know if you saw it. He got double teamed out by midcourt and jumped up and, you know, made a skip pass to the corner. Like, that was not an easy pass. And Richardson made a three-pointer. I mean, for Tatum to get that ball over there was a terrific play, and it's not something he would typically do.
Will in East Boston. Go ahead, Will.
Yes, sir. I'm talking about Suka Rath. I mean, do you think the Bruins will eventually find, you know, let him play? I'm not a Suka Rath fan, but let him play. And
oh, they're letting him play, Will.
Too much. They're letting him play too much. They're letting him play. He should have been in Providence for a few more games.
He sucked his last three games, and Cassidy came out after the last one and said we knew it would take 7 or 8 for him to get fully up to speed. So they're willing to give him several more games here. The question to me is, what if he still looks like this after another couple weeks and he's not right? Then, to me, the rubber hits the road. Like, I really am not going to give him that much. I wouldn't do it. I don't want him here. And I hated what they did last year by playing him in the playoffs when he wasn't right. But this year, he took no money and underwent surgery. And he is an elite goalie, even with all of his late season problems. He's an elite goalie who is basically playing for nothing and underwent surgery to correct his physical problem. I don't blame the team for saying, all right, well, I guess we have. There's just too much potential there, and it's too cheap. And it's a scratch ticket here. It's like, and it's not costing us anything, and we have to see what this looks like because the conditions are too conducive. I don't necessarily blame them for that. I wouldn't do it, but I can see why they have. There's a lot of potential value there.
I'm sure Murray has said this. Is he playing tonight?
I don't know.
I haven't seen a lot because the game's so late. I haven't seen anything in terms of lineup or anything like that.
But if they circle the drain with him again, if he's not right and they just keep going to him all season long, I will eviscerate them. That would be inexcusable as far as I'm concerned.
If he's in tonight against that team, they're going to lose 8-1.
I think whoever they got in there tonight, I don't love their chances, but we shall see. More of your thoughts right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
back in your face. Suck it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. Everything is on the table. Matt in Utah on the Buccaneers. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, just really quick, I just got to say, Shaughnessy is such a spoon for voting for Kent and not Ortiz. I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head yesterday with Kent's numbers going through the roof once he joined the Giants. But just going back to Brady and Gronk, I really feel like they've just kind of come to the end at this point because there's just so much, like, woe is me talk from them. You've got Brady out here pitching $350 rain jackets, and then you've got Gronk doing his, you know, Rocky perfume USAA commercials. Like, it's just, for the love of God, just go away finally if you want to go away. We don't need to celebrate you guys once and for all. Like, great, awesome players. The system was more Tom than Bill. I 1,000% believe that. But these guys are going on like a pity party lately, and it's annoying the hell out of me.
It's not just pity party, Matt, but what gets real tiresome real quick is the, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? Like, please. Spare us all that crap.
Yeah, and you know what? I meant to ask you this, too, because I know in the Jim Gray interview, we played part of it yesterday, Brady was asked about a farewell tour, and he said that he wouldn't necessarily want it that way.
Yeah, I don't think he would either. But
okay, so I was going to ask you, do you believe him?
Yeah, I do, and I think that would be his instinctive answer. Well, I don't have to deal with this every week. What, I have to come out before the game and you're going to give me a motorcycle or something? Like, he gets a different gift everywhere he goes? Like, this sort of nonsense? I think he would hate it until he got with his business people.
Yeah, this is the point. The money-making opportunities out of it, though.
Who then would say to him, Tommy, we can monetize this, you know. We can turn this into a money-making venture. And don't ask me how, but you could. And then Tom says, well, I do like the coin of the realm. What can I tell you? And then they do it, and they turn it into a money-making venture. But I think in his gut, in his heart of hearts, he doesn't want any of that.
Okay, so unless he retires now, then how does he avoid it?
He doesn't. He can't. Because if he comes back and says, I'm signing a 2-year contract, everyone's going to know this.
Him?
Right, exactly. So, right, it is. But just this little back and forth to this point is annoying. Brian in the car on the Bruins. What do you got, Brian?
Yeah, I think anybody who's watched the Bruins this season, as well as the rest of the league, knows that they're not legitimately a Stanley Cup contender. And I don't see any young players coming up on the horizon to change that. I think now is the time to sell. This is the window where you and I don't think they will, but I just think they have to come to the realization that, you know, Pastrnak on the block or Carlo or somebody to get some good young players in here.
Okay, so you would sell David Pastrnak?
I would.
Okay. I would not, unless, like, no one's untradeable to me. Do the Rangers want to give me the Fox kid that just won the Norris Trophy? Okay, we can talk. Does the Avalanche, you'll see him tonight, and I'm so embarrassed that I still can't remember how to pronounce the name.
Cale Makar.
Makar, the UMass defenseman, who's a freaking stud. If they want to give me Makar, okay, I'll try. I mean, so, like, but I'm not, I mean, I'll bag on David Pastrnak. I'll rag on him. I'll criticize him for being a turnover machine and implore the Bruins to get to him, to be more careful with the puck in those situations. But I'm not giving that guy away. An elite, elite, elite goal scorer. How many of those have you had in your entire life as a Bruins fan?
Not many.
So, please, look, he deserves criticism for being so loose with the puck. I hate the way he plays sometimes. But he puts the puck in the net at an elite level when he's going. His one-timer is as lethal as anyone in the game. And I do. And that is, for me to say, like, Stamkos, Ovechkin, Kucherov, these guys, Pastrnak, he's on that level when he's going.
Oh, no, he can rifle the puck. He can shoot it.
The game winner he had on Saturday against Winnipeg was a freaking pee.
Was that the one that hit the far post?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a rocket.
Ridiculous.
That was an absolute freaking dart.
But no one's untradeable. If you want to give me, you know, these young defensemen I'm just telling you about, fine. And I go, because I think defense and the D-core is like the key to championships now in hockey. I just think it's so important. You want to give me McAvoy and one of these other guys, and that's my team for the next 10 years? Yeah, you can have Pastrnak. But that ain't happening. Otherwise, I'm not selling, and they're never going to sell. How many times do I have to tell you this? They like the playoff revenue too much. They're not selling. Pat in Quincy on the Celts. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how you doing? No, I just want to talk about the Celtics. I mean, it's great to see the game last night, but, I mean, consistency has always been an issue with this team, especially the past couple seasons. But Marcus Smart, I mean, he's been on the chopping block, the trading block, pretty much his whole career here in Boston. Plays 24 minutes last night, 0 points. I mean, are we trading this guy?
It's a good thing, Pat. I'm sorry to cut you off. Maz is a great conspiracy theory.
Yeah, look, again, I think that, you know, if they're ever going to figure it out, it's going to take somebody to say, look, I'm going to play my role. I'm going to play my role. I don't know. I'd rather have Marcus Smart take 3 shots, get no points, and have 7 assists, and the team win than him getting 15. Murray, what was your theory on it?
And yesterday, maybe this was Murray's theory, is the first day you could trade Marcus Smart because of
January 25th. It's the first day that Smart was trade eligible. I don't think that that's a coincidence.
And so, you know, we've been imploring him to not shoot and just play a role. And now the first day he's eligible to be traded, all of a sudden he goes for no points.
After a week of hearing, oh, the Mavericks might be interested, maybe the Timberwolves might be interested as well, the day he's eligible, he comes out and plays the role we all wish that he would.
Well, I'll tell you, though, like, does that make him more appealing if you're a team that wants him or less?
It makes him more appealing here, is what I would say.
I think it makes him more appealing everywhere. Maybe he wants out.
Well, either way, the
timing's like, you know, just I'll play the way you want me to play. Get me out of here.
Timing's interesting. Rob in Oxford. Yes, Rob.
Felger, can you just be a regular moron and not a giant moron with your wanting to trade away Mac Jones and get off this thing that Deshaun Watson is ever playing again? He's never playing in the league ever again.
Oh, that's not
just
true.
Just be a regular moron and wanting to trade Mac Jones.
Rob, do you think Deshaun Watson's never going to play again?
Never going to play again. He has 20 sexual assault civil cases against him. He's never playing again.
Those are civil cases. Those are civil cases.
You could have said the same thing about Roethlisberger circa like 2009, 2010.
And I'm the moron? What are you, freaking nuts? Oh, no, he will be back.
Oh, he's going to play again.
The question is where and when and what's his salary look like and does he have to serve a suspension first and all of this. But he'll be back. What, I mean, sorry, caller. I don't know who's the moron on that one. But and I'd take him. I would take him, even if, you know, just providing he's not a really, really bad guy. Like, he is going to have to rehabilitate some. And not that I'm like the moral police, but, yeah, he was abusing women at a pretty good clip there.
Oh, yeah, no, the guy's got a problem. If every allegation is true.
And I don't want to qualify what he was doing. It was just really not right and harmful. And so he's got to admit a problem, work on the problem, come to Jesus, if you will. He's got to sort of cop to it all and say, I have a problem and I'm working on it and I'm in rehab therapy, whatever. Like, he's got to really come clean.
I mean, 23.
I mean, no, the kid's got an issue. But from what I've heard so far, it doesn't rise to the level where I would say, I don't want him anywhere near me. Now, if more comes out, maybe I'll get there. Because there's a line there. Like, I don't want Antonio Brown anywhere near my football team. And if Deshaun Watson's that level of putz, that level of bad guy, then fine, I'm out. But I don't know. I haven't read it yet to say that he is there. He's close. And if he totally throws himself at the mercy and comes clean, then providing all that, oh, I'd trade for him in a second. That's your guy for the next 10 years. Jeff in the car on our Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, you know, I'm thinking back to the game, the Niners game on this weekend, and I feel like I watched Garoppolo throw 2 or 3 passes in the first quarter even that were, like, right on the numbers. I mean, I think 2 of them might have even been first.
Jeff, I'm glad you said it. He came out strong. Kittle dropped a ball right in his gut on the first drive that could have been a 25-yard gain. And then on third down, he had a ball over the middle that was alligator-armed and could have been another completion. I totally agree. On the first drive, he got hung out to dry, Jeff.
So, yeah, I think that if they manage his, you know, keep him to what he can do okay, man, he might come out and surprise some people this weekend.
I think what they need to do is not be so afraid of him.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
Because I think that sort of plays into it themselves, where Garoppolo, clearly, the game speeds up on him in some of these big moments, but not all of them. He was good late in the Packers game. But against Dallas, he crapped himself, and he starts to crap himself a little bit. Then Shanahan pulls back the offense and goes conservative with him. And then Jimmy says, oh, he's not letting me throw. Now he tightens up And it's like they bring out the worst in each other in those situations.
I'll tell you, in his whole time in San Francisco, I think Shanahan overall has been tighter with him than Belichick ever was.
Absolutely.
Belichick used to let him throw it. And he knew that, you know, again, I go back to that Miami game. You don't see that type of freedom that out in San Francisco, particularly in the last, you know, year plus. So he's got to – Shanahan, they're going to need Garoppolo to win this game. I don't think they're going to be able to win it just on the ground.
One final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails. David Lowell from Mayaz on the Hall of Fame voting. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Earlier, Mayaz said that he didn't vote for Schilling. But I was wondering, every pitcher with 3,000 Ks or whatever has made the Hall of Fame. Every single one. And Schilling did it in less innings. Other than Pedro, he did it in less innings than every other pitcher. And we know how big he can be in the clutch. So my question to you is, why would you leave him off of that list?
Okay, so I just thought Schilling falls into a category that I put a lot of guys in that is a little short. I put David Cone in that group. I put Andy Pettit in that group. Jack Morris was in that group. And these are guys who are in the, you know, low 200s in wins, who were good strikeout guys, but they weren't the best of the best of their era.
How about a guy you asked me about yesterday, John Lester?
No, I'm a no on Lester. Same class, though.
Yeah, right.
Same class of pitcher. I mean, Schilling's better than Lester, I think. You know, Lester to me was always kind of a 1.5. You know, not a true ace, but better than a number two. Schilling was a real ace. Schilling was legit for the last, you know, 7, 8, 10 years of his career. Draw the line wherever you want. But at the beginning of his career, it was a huge disappointment. Huge. People, you know, look, at the end of the day, if you ask me who I'd give the ball to in a big game, would I give it a Schilling? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And he's damn close. The strikeout thing, I don't put as much stock in, and I'll tell you why. Because the strikeouts went up. They went up.
They went up in the game.
Yes. Yes. It just, you know, you started to see more and more of it. And, you know, there were some ridiculous 300 strikeout seasons that took place in the steroid era. So, you know, he was a terrific pitcher, don't get me wrong, but just short.
Anthony and Bill Ricca. Go ahead, Anthony, on the Bees.
I just want to comment on the Tuukka Rask experiment here, because that's exactly what it is. And you got to be kidding me. Allmark was on like an 8-game win streak.
I know he wasn't, but either way, go ahead.
He won something a couple games in a row there, and you're telling me, you know, Rask, you short money, you short money. He's already proven time and time again you can beat him over the shoulder. Just get in Rask's kitchen a little bit. You get mad, you piss him off, and then winning as a team, you come together with guys like Allmark and Swayman. They're hugging after every game, and you know Rask just hopped in once the team starts winning.
It was kind of annoying, Anthony. I'm with you, Paul and Quincy. Follow up.
Either way, go ahead,
Paul.
Yes,
go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's about Rask. Today, and it's about a comment I heard a few minutes ago about Pastrnak. Did I hear you say you'd give up Pastrnak?
Yes, for the Norris Trophy winning defenseman. Yes, I would.
That is the most insane thing I've ever heard. First of all, they should get rid of that. First of all, they should get rid of Rask, see what they can get for defensemen that we need, because Tuukka Rask sucks.
Yes, right. Tuukka Rask is not going to get you Adam Fox or Callie McCarr.
That was the eye of the storm of a take hurricane.
That
there was
there
just
was a,
so much going on.
There were four guys in the car smoking weed and drinking Bud Light, and I know you're not supposed to do that
and
drive.
Don't you think that was the radio in the background?
Yeah, it was the radio. What was going on?
Oh, I felt like they were just like, you know, in a car.
That was us.
No. Wait, it was four guys in the car if you count the three of us.
Yeah. Window down. Did I just hear you say
Pasternak?
Pasternak. Ludicrous.
Tuukka Rask, they should have done it. I don't want them to have done it. I can see why they've done it. And I said before, there's too much value there. I hate that I use the word value. Upside is really what I meant to say. Upside. And the upside is, he is, and please listen to what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, a Stanley Cup caliber goalie. Okay? Or he was. Caliber. He's never done it, and maybe he never will because he's just, you know, not the greatest big game player in the sport. But he does have the talent to be that kind of guy. And he's offered to play for nothing, and he got surgery to correct the physical problem that was bothering him. And your locker room, which maybe in its last sort of roundup with these key players, meaning Bergeron, wants him. And so I can see why they would take a shot there. It makes sense. If they had to pay him any real money or give him like an extra year on the contract, I'd say, no way. What are you doing? Or if he didn't get the surgery, he just said, I rested and now I want to try and play. I'd say, go F yourself. You have to correct the physical problem with surgery. You have to play for free. And if you fulfill those conditions and we see that your head's screwed on straight and you want to do this, all right, let's take a look. And I'm fine with that part of it, taking a look. If he looks like he can't do it, and they just keep him all year, that would be a disgrace. There has to be a shelf life. What am I trying to say? A born-on date. There's got to be a date on Tuukka Rask where you say, okay, he's had 10 starts, 12 starts, whatever it is. Let's assess. And if it's not good enough, you say, Tukes, we tried it. It's not working. And you bring the kid back up.
Like a sell-by date.
Sell-by date is what I meant.
Yep. Best if used by kind of thing. Look, you don't have to apologize for it. Like, this to me, I think that people get ridiculous over this, and I understand the failures in the playoffs. The fact is, the guy's a good goalie. Like, I know people have a hard time grasping that for some reason, and I get it. He's a terrific goalie. Can he win the big one? I don't know. Clearly not.
Murray, can he win the big one? No.
We all
the
know
answer is no.
No.
But every dog has his day. I know I've said that for years with him.
The only reason I was somewhat reluctant is so, like, the sports world's, like, upside down now. Like, all these losers now win. Yeah. Like, UGA winning the national championship a few weeks ago. Like, oh, my God, what's happening in the world?
It's sort of worth a shot. I wouldn't do it, but I can see them saying it's worth a shot. Give it a shot. But that's all it has to be is a shot. If it doesn't work, you don't circle the drain with it. And so let's see. If you know, and it hasn't worked out so far. But if he had come back, the whole team had caught fire, he looked like he was primed to go, and it gave them a jolt, then, you know, and it didn't cost you anything other than some time in Providence for Swayman, then I think that was worth the risk. But, you know, how long are you going to go with it if it's not working?
If it's going to look like this, then they can only give him a few weeks.
Yeah, if it doesn't get better, absolutely, at some point you have to make a call, but he's better than Skidmark.
Here's Victor in the car on the Patriots. Yes, Victor.
All right, so anybody that says that they wouldn't trade Mac Jones for Deshaun Watson is out of their mind. First of all, that's like trading a Mustang for a Ferrari and saying no. Secondly, Robert Kraft can't say anything about not wanting that type of guy to play for him because he had the same type of issue.
Yeah.
And thirdly, your call screener told me that they wouldn't even consider it because they drafted Davis Mills and he's better than Mac Jones. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Would the Texans even want Mac Jones?
No, they have the taller version of him right now.
Yeah, look, again, I think they've got a guy who profiles the same way and might even be better. And I'm not talking about Watson. I'm talking about Davis Mills.
So
his final six or seven games, he was one of the, you know, top seven or eight quarterbacks in the conference, in the league.
I'm leaving that to the side. And I'm also leaving the off-field thing to the side. But the Robert Kraft thing is a complication. You know, Robert Kraft couldn't. You're right, from a hypocritical standpoint, it'd be something else for Robert to say, no, I don't want that kind of guy on my team. But then on the other hand, does it just bring a spotlight to the whole thing?
Yes.
And it sort of, you know, Deshaun Watson's history shines a spotlight on Kraft's issue there.
Well, think of the first line, you know, one of the first lines of the story, if they make the trade, is Watson goes to an owner who did the same thing.
Which is so annoying. Like, if that would be why they wouldn't even look at it, that'd be the wrong reason.
Yeah, and I should say there is a distinction. Right.
Yeah. But Robert wasn't abusing anyone or doing anything against anyone's will. It's loosely close enough that people would draw the line.
Correct.
And it would draw attention to it.
Right. So it's not total apples to apples, but it's an impossible comparison to overlook.
So you know what? Just let that go. If you're the Patriots, just take it. Just take a few weeks of snide comments and deal with it. Here's John in the van. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? The three of you are like a bunch of jackasses. So once one says something, then the other two bobbleheads are like, oh, yeah, I agree. So you're telling me you don't think Tom Brady would want the farewell parade while he's releasing documentaries about himself while the season's still going on?
I think it's true. I don't think those things are the same thing, John.
Oh, they're completely the same thing.
They're not.
He's an egotistical maniac.
Well, he is that. It's just the pregame ceremony is such a chafe. It's like such a pain in the ass. And then every week, so the Tom versus Tom.
Oh, it's
thing,
so true.
the man in the arena thing, caller, is on his terms. He got to shoot the thing when he got to shoot it. He got to say what he wanted to say. He didn't have to talk to anyone he didn't have to talk to. It was on his terms, his production company, his deal. The farewell tour is every Wednesday press conference, it's a million questions about my career. And then every post-game press conference is a million questions about my career. And then before the game, I have to go out and shake the mayor's hand and accept his gift of the key to the city or whatever the hell. And it's I think that thing's a much bigger pain in the ass than shooting the thing with his production company, which he does on his schedule.
Yeah, which is why I say if Brady doesn't want that farewell tour, well, how does he escape it now when he's making this... You know, I say stink, but he's having it leaked out there that this might be it. If he comes back, everyone's going to know that's it.
Okay, the Brady thing leads to the email of the day, shall we, please?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Yeah, Murray's a bobblehead.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, so's Maz.
And I think Maz is a boob.
B.O.B.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Mimecast email of the day, and mime is spelled M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T. M as in Michael. The email is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit mimecast.com. Some of my favorite emails I've gotten in a while. It was yesterday, but I saved it for today. It's from Kim. You hear me, Kim? She writes in, hi. I would like to chime in on Tom Brady maybe retiring so he can make stupid waffles with his stupid kids. You ever try and do something fun like that with your kids? It always ends in tears. You left a mess and immediately regret it about 30 seconds into it. She says, I'm a working mom, and all working parents know Tommy is full of it. The only parents who are obsessed with their children are parents who have jobs, who can escape from their kids 5 days a week and spend minimal time with them in the morning and at night during the week. He sounds stupid wanting to use them as an excuse to retire. So I'm pretty sure I can speak from every working parent out there when I say, go ahead, Tommy, retire and be with your kids. Because he'll soon learn that it's effing awful. And he'll wish he stayed playing in the league until his kids were in college. Have a good day. Signed, Kim.
Oh, I'm with her.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm totally with her.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I said this yesterday, Brady knows it. He knows it. This whole thing, if he were to retire, he's on some boat in the Mediterranean trying to sell TB12 infinity powder or some sort of...
How long would he pick his kids up from school?
2 days.
I give it 3 days.
Yeah. One.
I don't know if he'd make it the full 5 day week. I don't know if he'd make it a week.
No way. He's going to be too busy hobnobbing promoting TB12.
In Miami.
Yes.
I will say driving the kid to school is my favorite part of the day. It takes a minute and 15 seconds. We're right around the block from the elementary school. That's why it's my favorite part of the day. Boom. In, out. See you later.
I used to like taking them to the bus stop.
Yeah, well, it's right there. It's down the street.
Oh, yeah, into the driveway.
Yeah, it's a two-minute thing, right? That's the family time.
They get on, you walk back into an empty house.
Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. That's one of my favorite lines ever, Maz there. Love spending time with my kids. My favorite is dropping them off at the bus stop in the morning. Where's the bus stop? It's the end of the driveway.
It's like 30 seconds walking down the driveway. That's perfect. It's a quality time.
Oh, totally.
Well,
perfect.
The show started today with a conversation about David Ortiz and the Baseball Hall of Fame, which, of course, led to calls regarding this very subject. Until this one snuck in.
Neil and Rockland, go ahead, please. Neil and Rockland, you're up.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This is on the overtime rule. My idea adds strategy.
Hey, Neil, hold on. We'll get back to you in a minute. How about Nick and Warwick? Go ahead, Nick.
Much more important topic.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
These guys have been waiting really patiently, so just real quick. Neil and Rockland, are you still there on the overtime?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am. Listen, Felger, I know you like the Belichick idea, and I think that's a good idea. But hear me out.
Quickly, please, quickly.
Add strategy and answers the...
Go. Give me your idea. Go. Pitch it. Go.
You have an idea at the end of the game that you add most yards, most first downs, whatever you come up with, and that's the winner of the game.
Okay. I hate it.
And that was like an hour and a half later.
You waited about 90 minutes.
Yeah. And then we crapped all over your tank.
So what, are you supposed to count? Or are you like, you compare and contrast the statistics?
I don't know.
Yeah, if we want the ball, if we want to win the game, we're going to get two more first downs.
Yeah. It's ever slow. Just open the phones up for that. You'll fill it easily. All right, that's that. Here comes the Dark Knight himself.
Oh, boy.
We're back at it tomorrow at 2. We'll come up with something, I'm sure. We'll see you guys then.
See you.
Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.